All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. This is Destination Health for the first hour. The second hour, we'll just see how it goes. It may be more Destination Health. It may be general questions. It may be a combination of the two. So let's get to it. Right now, I will tell you that the calls are starting to come in pretty quick, but questions are still light. So if you have a question, whether it's health-related or general, go ahead and press 1 on your phone, and we will screen those. The sooner you press 1, the better your chances of getting through. In fact, if you do it right now, I guarantee we'll get to you. If you wait, you just never know. So here we go.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business
and Beyond,
the show that puts the money where it belongs,
back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking. Today is Destination Health, so it's all about the health of trucking. We take your calls and answer your questions about everything health-related, diet, lifestyle, fitness, training, disease, medication, you name it. We'll talk about it here on the show, and we're going to get to your calls and questions in just a little bit. Because this is Destination Health, my co-host Kim Cockerham will be joining me. Kim, welcome back.
Hi, glad to be here, Kevin.
Hey, so I thought we would take a break from the NTP stuff for a couple reasons. One, I am over my head right now in trying to study for finals. So I've got a lot in my mind about NTP right now, but it's deeper than, you know, most of the stuff I would want to talk about here on the air. And I also know that you've got something pretty exciting going on with the challenge, right?
Yeah, we do. We do. So are you ready for that?
Yeah, so I thought today we would let everybody know about the challenge, and then you and I might just talk about some stuff in general, and then we'll get to some questions.
Sounds great. Sounds perfect.
So tell us all about it.
Yeah, and it's just worked out perfect. You know, it has, you know, start of a new month, June 1st. But we had decided to do the challenge as part of CMC, like the post-CMC, because we just did a lot of exciting things at CMC around health with Jimmy Moore, with our Destination Health Night. We had some great handouts. So we wanted to take that and just try to carry that forward, because a lot of times, you know, you end something like CMC and you go back and life takes over again, you know, and it kind of gets lost. At the same point, we wanted to give everybody a little break as well to digest everything from CMC and kind of get prepared for this in the holiday week
right.
And so forth. So it was interesting. Originally, we were thinking 21 days. You know, everybody thinks 21 days for a habit and so forth. And I just see that everywhere. I was actually coming off the airplane in the Tampa airport and went by a bookstore that had another 21-day challenge. And I thought, oh, you know, we're going to one-up this and just, like we do everything, just want to do a little bit more. So,
yeah.
So we made it 22
days. I love that idea.
Yeah, plus one everything, you know, one more push-up, one more, you know, one more glass of water, one more,
yeah.
You know, with your work, too, just that little bit of extra, that 1 degree extra. So, and 22 is also a very prominent number in the military world, too, you know, with, you know, we lose a lot of military people. So it's just a way to honor everything about life, about our health. So we kicked it off today. So I encourage, and what this is, and I don't like putting a day number to it sometimes because we think when it's done, it's done. But this isn't. It's a lifestyle. But it's kind of nice to step back and say, okay, I'm going to focus on this. And we're saying one or two things that you want to do for yourself. And everybody's going to be different. We all know what we need at, you know, this particular time right now to just be a little bit more healthy, a little bit more rested, get a little bit more energy. And that's what we're asking people to do, just find one or two things that they want to focus on. know that they're not alone, that there's a collective group of some pretty awesome people across the country that are working on this together. We set up text messages that are going to come out daily to just be a reminder of that and be encouraging and just to stay, again, stay focused. So for anybody that wants to join us, it's as simple as this. Text the word LT Health, H-E-A-L-T-H, LT Health to 99,000. And then to our for our Canadian friends, you text that to 76,000. So, you know, we're just going to see where this goes and, you know, get feedback from people. I originally was thinking about a Facebook group, but there's so many Facebook groups. But we're going to start here and add some conference calls, which actually we'll be using Blog Talk, a number there, to just be able to open up some discussion and encouragement and people to, a platform to share successes. And then the one other thing with it is we say the number one thing, and I think you talked about that at the CMC, is talk about, decide why you want to do this. You know, name some things and write it down and let that be your anchor for these next 22 days.
Wow, you just gave me so much to talk about. I have to try to keep it all in order here.
Okay.
So I love the idea, absolutely. I love the 22-day thing. It just kind of, you know, it reminds me of when we were doing the slowdown for better fuel economy, and all on their own, a group of our listeners started the 54-mile-an-hour club. You know, it would have been logical to do the 55-mile-an-hour club, but they did the 54. And I just thought that was a unique little twist on it. So the 22-day thing is kind of cool. I love the text message system. What a great way to do this, you know, to be able to hit people with reminders every day and to keep focused and on track. And the idea of putting a time limit on it, I think is a really good one in that you need to get immersed in something early on and consistent in order to really make a change. But that doesn't mean at the end of 22 days you just quit. It means that for 22 days you're going to focus so hard on this, you're not going to let some of those things that normally would interfere because you've got this short-term focus. So it's kind of the idea of, look, I can do anything for 22 days. And even if things get really difficult and you're tempted not to do it, having that short-term focus helps you get through it. And if you do get through it, you're much more likely then to continue doing it. You've created that habit. You've got through the hardest part. So I love that idea of a 22-day challenge, but this is really a lifetime change. So I love that. And then I'll jump in and tell you what mine is. I am committing, and I started a couple days ago just to get a head start. I'm committing to spending 40 minutes a day in sunshine with very little clothing. And it's the vitamin D. This is a perfect time of year to get the best source of vitamin D you can get, which is just sunshine. And one of the things that really helps if you want to get the most vitamin D production out of the sun is to be outside at what's called solar noon. And solar noon is different depending on where you are in the world. It's not noon by the clock. For example, today where I am, solar noon is at 1:09 p.m. I mean, it's that precise. That is when where I am in Oregon, the sun is directly overhead. And that gives you the best of the ultraviolet B rays, which are the ones that they don't necessarily tan you, but those are the ones that produce the vitamin D in the largest quantities. And any time the sun gets off at an angle, your body has a harder time using it to produce vitamin D. So if you're going to do the sunshine thing, look up, and all you have to do is Google solar noon, you know, for where you are. There's charts and tables and all kinds of things, and it'll get right down to the minute. That, and I am committing to walking every hour. I didn't get very active at all over the last couple of months because we were so busy, and I just, while I'm studying, I go for a 10-minute walk every hour. I just get outside, go walk for 10 minutes, come back in. So those are my two that I'm going to commit to.
That is really great. And oh my gosh, especially that walking part, because my husband sent me a picture of these little bicycle wheels that you do under the desk or, you know, wherever you are. And I'm like, yeah, but I am still sitting on my butt. I got to get off my butt. So,
you know, along those lines, I just want to jump in because I'm making a commitment to figuring out the walking thing for drivers. The seating thing has been, it's been bugging me for a long time. We know sitting long times is not good. And, you know, it's hard enough for somebody who works at a desk all day to get up and get active. But that's nothing compared to how hard it is for a driver. You know, if you work in an office, all you have to do is just commit to the time. To get up, to stand at your desk, to do a little bit of walking is really not that big of a challenge, and yet people struggle with it. But then I keep getting stuck on this with drivers.
Mm-hmm.
How do we beat this? And I'm actually in contact with two doctors who have both written books on this topic, and I want to hopefully I can recruit them into coming up with some ideas for us. But I got thinking, you know, it's not as bad as what I thought. If you commit as a driver to walking first thing in the morning, before you ever pull out, because you're not really going to lose any time during your day by doing this. Maybe you get up 15 or 20 minutes earlier, not a big deal. Do your walking so that you're not looking for a place to park. You're there. You're not going to lose a lot of time. And I'm going to get to a break, and when I come back, I'm going to talk about how else to kind of structure the day. But I'm also looking for more ideas about this. We'll be right back. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. My co-host is Kim Cockerham. This is Destination Health. We're talking about a little bit of everything today, but focusing on the 22-day challenge. So, Kim, I kind of took this on as a different kind of challenge of finding a way to help drivers beat this sitting thing. So if you walk first thing in the morning, you don't lose as much time. You're going to stop at least once a day for a meal. You know, and the beauty of being ketogenic is sometimes it only has to be one time a day. Really work to schedule that stop so you've got some place to walk on that stop as well. And then at the end of the day, and if you're doing that, at least that's three times a day. Now, it's really not enough if you're driving 10 or 11 hours a day, but it's way more than most people are getting. And if you commit to those three times to just get out and move and don't sit down, maybe there's another thing that you could do. Maybe you set up your sleeper so that whatever you do in the evenings, whether it's reading or watching TV or, you know, on the internet, maybe you set that time up so you're standing. You know, you've been sitting all day. Why not stand the rest of the evening?
You know what? That's a really good point. And, you know, you stand on one of those, what do you call it, the balance board? And so does Brittany just got one, too. Darcy Martin shared one with us at the CMC, and it could be as simple as doing that and maybe doing some reading because you're engaging, you know, your core and everything else. And I love that. And the thing that we did at CMC, which was awesome this year, we did that Rise and Shine that we, you know, got 30-plus people. It was amazing. It was at 6 o'clock in the morning. And thank you so much to Jeff Russell for – sharing with us and dedicating his time. And the thing that stands out with me about what he shared, and he kept incorporating this into what he was showing people, is that you just get a mindset to look for ways to move. And whether, you know, even he showed a simple mobility thing just because you're sitting all day, but just look, you just look with different eyes of different things you can do to incorporate movement and some flexibility and strength work into your entire day. Not all at once, but just, you know, spread it out through your entire day like you're saying to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And that idea of just, you don't have to have a rock solid plan, but just keep your eyes open. Mm-hmm. What are the opportunities that you can spend more time on your feet, more time moving? You know, Lisa reminded me of the idea of using this challenge along with SMART goals. SMART standing for specific, so be real clear about what the goal you're setting. Measurable, meaning we can measure the goal. Attainable, so we don't want to set goals that are really kind of impossible to reach. Realistic and timely. So when you look at your goal, does it fit all of that criteria? And then you mentioned something earlier that I was a really big thing for me at the CMC, and I got a great response from it. And that was, after you get the goal down, the what you mm-hmm. want to accomplish, the most important part of this is finding the why. Why mm-hmm. do you want to accomplish this? And it was interesting when I did this at the CMC, and I had people writing these things down, and then we would take examples from the people in the audience, and I would go through them, and I've seen this before because I've been in seminars where this was taught, and it's a clear pattern. When you mm-hmm. ask people to do this the first time, when you say, okay, write your goal, tell me what you want to accomplish, then you get through that, and they write good goals. And then we tweaked them a little bit, and we made them fit the SMART criteria, and then I said, okay, now tell me why. And I mm-hmm. gave them a little bit of a heads up that your why should be emotional. This isn't necessarily the part you can measure. We can measure your goal, but the reason why is much more emotional than practical. And what happens, and I see this every time you do this, is people end up just kind of rewriting the goal in different words. And I kind of had a little bit of fun with it. Somebody would be really serious, and they'd go through this whole reason why, and I would just look at them and go, that is so freaking boring. And they were just shocked. Like, what? What did you just say? And I'd say, come on, that was boring. You know, the goal is a good goal, but all you did was rewrite it in some other words. I said, this is where we need to get emotional. Mm-hmm. We don't write that we want to eat ketogenically so that we lose 25 pounds. That's the goal. That's wonderful. It's measurable. It's attainable. It's time. It's all those things. But it's boring and it's not inspiring at all. So when you get to the why, you need to write things. And I was walking them through this. I was saying, look, you know, I just talked to somebody who was in a wheelchair because of their weight. And when he was telling me about this, he was in tears because his 4-year-old daughter wants to play and mm-hmm. he can't play. And he went on a ketogenic diet and he lost enough weight that he's chasing his 4-year-old around. And I said, this is the why. You got to write this so that you say, I want to be able to see the joy in the face of my 4-year-old when I can play with her and not have to see the pain because I couldn't. That's the kind of emotion we want to get to. This part is never about money. It's never about numbers. It's never about, you know, those measurable things that we're going to achieve. The why is getting down to the emotion of it. Money is not emotional. Money is nothing but, you know, dirty paper with pictures of dead presidents on it. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. It's what we get from the money. That's why we might set a monetary goal, but when we get to the why, we have to say, I want to be able to share better experiences with my family or never have to see them missing out on something because we didn't have enough money. And the more emotional you get and the stronger the words you use, that's going to be the motivation for that day you get up and everything's going wrong and you're tempted to skip it today. Looking at your goal at that point probably won't motivate you, but if you write a really, really strong why and feel that emotion, that's going to get you over the hump.
Exactly. And, you know, we had people fill out, and I'm so grateful for the people that did part of the health survey from the CMC. And across the board, their whys, I mean, brought tears to my eyes because it is so real. It's that exactly what you're saying. You know, I want to be the joy thing. You know, I want to be able to play with my kids. I want, you know, with the grandkids. I want to get off my meds. I want to have energy. And if you can get, you know, people that stop and feel what that will feel like. And sometimes they're scared to let themselves feel that because it seems impossible. But you got to believe that that is so in your reach. And take it a day at a time, and we're here to work right along with you on this.
Yeah, and, you know, I want to get to some questions here in a little bit, but Lisa mm-hmm. also reminded me of a really good point that, you know, don't just focus this challenge on diet or weight loss. There's so
mm-hmm.
many other aspects of health. And if you need to, if maybe weight or diet is overwhelming, pick something easier. Pick something that, again, it is attainable, it's realistic, but it makes you step out of your comfort zone. You know, if it's only walking for 10 minutes a day and that's something you don't do or is difficult for you, then that is a great way to attack this challenge.
Exactly. Baby steps. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
so
good.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm sure there was other stuff I wanted to talk about, but what do you say we get to some calls and questions?
That sounds great. Thanks.
All right. Let's go to Nebraska. Darwin, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. I just had a quick question about an audiobook I listened to a while back, and it's called The China Study. Have either one of you read or listened to that?
I had it at one point. I couldn't make it through it. But I'm familiar with it. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess my question is like the ketogenic diet you guys are talking about. You know, you eat meat, and in their studies, everything they show about eating meat is bad. Supposedly causes cancer, stuff like that. They got all this research and stuff like that. I was just kind of curious, what's your thought of this?
Well,
I mean,
yeah, I haven't read the book, but I've read lots of those studies. Here's one of the things we have to realize. All of the studies on meat eaters have been on people eating the standard American diet and eating factory farmed meat, because that's all we've had to study for the last 100 years or so, because that's primarily what everybody's eating. But when you look at the studies of ancient cultures or even more wild cultures that still exist around the world today, they're getting harder and harder to find. The results are very, very different. You can look at the Maasai tribe. You can look at the Inuits that were studied extensively on a diet that was almost pure animal products. And the results are very, very different. But that doesn't mean we should all be gorging ourselves on protein. And in fact, that's not what a ketogenic diet is. So let's talk about that when we get right back. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Thank Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. My co-host is Kim Cockerham. This is Destination Health, and right now we're talking to Darwin in Nebraska. So, Darwin, there's a couple things here. One is, again, all the studies tend to be people who are eating not a very good diet to begin with, and then the protein that they are consuming, they're consuming too much of it, and it's just really, really poor quality. Now, on a ketogenic diet, protein is moderate. You're one steak. I just posted a steak this morning that I cooked. It was Wagyu beef, and I only ate about a third of it. Now, it's a typical, 12 or 14-ounce cut that most people would sit down, and that would be a serving, and they would probably eat it with a big baked potato, probably some sort of soft drink loaded with sugar. They might put some sweet sauce on it. It wouldn't be grass-fed. That's just a really poor study group, because that's not a ketogenic or a paleo diet. We wouldn't have included all the carbs in the same meal with that protein. We wouldn't be eating all the carbs, period. And if you're doing this right, if you're really concerned about health, you'll take the time and spend the extra money to find grass-fed. It changes everything. And most of us should probably only be eating about 4 ounces of protein in a serving, and less than 100 grams a day for most people. I'm trying to keep my protein down to 75 grams a day. The problem with most of these studies, there's only 3 macronutrients. We have fats, proteins, and carbohydrates. And of the 3, one is not necessary at all, carbohydrates. Another one is hard to eat too much of, and that's fat, because it's very filling and satisfying. Protein is probably the easiest one to overdo if you're not paying attention. So, again, if we look back at a natural diet, if you go out in the wild and you had to survive out in the wild, I'm telling you, you're going to die as a vegetarian. There are just not enough vegetables available to eat to even keep you alive. You know, it's easy, sure. It's much easier for a vegetarian today to go to the grocery store and have produce from all over the world. That's not available in the wild. That wasn't our wild, natural diet. We lived and survived and thrived on animal products. The problem today is they are horribly raised. We eat way too much of it, and we don't eat all the good parts. I mean, I just placed another order for beef, and I ordered tongue, heart, liver, kidneys, and marrow bones. All the stuff nobody else wants to eat. But that's where all the nutrition is. So it's not eating animal products that's bad. It's the way we eat it. Kim, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, and and I love that one. Thank you for calling and even asking the question, because it just gives us the chance to chat, And I like reading too, like you do, Kevin. I don't read as much yet. I'm getting completely fascinated with it, though. But I take it with a grain of salt sometimes. You want to pull the things that, speak to you, and some things just, like this. I feel like if there's a book or a study that completely negates a certain way of eating, or that like vegetarian, we can still find good things about vegetarian eating. If you're eating good whole, whole quality vegetables, you can still find good bits to that. But I still take it with a grain of salt. If they are knocking, are making what they want to promote the right way, because they're going to find ways to gear their scientific studies to back that. So I read it and I say, oh, okay, okay, but still go and, dig in some more, become your own researcher to learn and see what works for you.
Right.
Yep. Great point.
Okay. Well, yeah, I just was kind of curious because I was looking into the ketogenic diet, and then I read listened to that audio, and it was like, oh, Jesus, now they're just contradicting what you guys are saying. So, all right,
yeah.
Well, I appreciate your help, and I'll look into it.
You're welcome. And another way to look at this, and another thing we have to realize is that we are all very bio-individual. I was working with somebody the other day who loves the whole food idea, doesn't even mind the fat and the protein, but they get a little worried when they hear keto because people tend to think they can eat all the bacon and sausage they want. And that's just not true. That's not part of a ketogenic diet. That was never part of Atkins. I think that's how they got off track. But the one thing that I said to her was that when we look at the population we're serving, when we look at our tribe, many of them have damaged their sugar handling capabilities so badly that we need to go to an extreme. And for some people, a ketogenic diet may seem extreme. For others, honestly, I could spend the rest of my life like this. And I bounce in and out of keto a little bit, but I am still able to get plenty of vegetables if all that I'm eating is primarily fat and a little bit of protein and a lot of vegetables. I can eat that way every day and still stay ketogenic. But we have to look at each individual. If we have somebody who is diabetic or pre-diabetic or very insulin resistant, then I think the ketogenic diet makes more sense than any other diet. Get the sugar and all the starches out of the diet and then fix that blood sugar handling problem. And it will fix itself over time. And maybe over time you could add more carbs back in. So, you know, we can look at any way of eating and find things that are good and find things that are bad other than the standard American diet. I mean, there just isn't much good to be said about that. The only thing we could say is it's cheap and convenient. Those are, and now I look at those as negatives, no longer positives. But, you know, whether somebody wants to be a vegetarian, I think in today's world it's easier because you do have access to so many vegetables and good fats. And I'm certainly not going to do it. I went down that road once and I didn't like it. I wasn't healthy being a vegetarian. I really like this way of eating.
Mm-hmm. I do too. And it's actually very simple. You know, we try to complicate things so much. You know, I know people love, and it's good to have lists of what to eat and what not to eat and that kind of stuff. But it is very simple as far as I'm just getting started. And sorry, I got sidetracked a little bit because I was thinking when you said that, I had watched an interview with three doctors, and one was a vegetarian. One of them was Dr. Mark Hyman. I can't remember the other guy, but they all agree across the board that it's that number one thing is getting sugar out of your diet and the processed foods. So, you know, when people get in debates about different kind of diets, I think we can all agree that if you start there and build from that to find what works for you, you've got it.
You know, absolutely. And when I first started down this and was reading all the books, and I said the more books I read, the more confused I got.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because of all the conflicting advice. And then the one thing that kind of helped me get past that and sort it out was stop focusing on the differences between these and look at the similarities. Why don't we start with what we all agree on? And all the doctors agreed that eating whole, real food was the number one piece of this whole thing. And that's right, whether it's mostly vegetables or I do know people that do really well on a high-protein diet. Or high fat, but as long as the food you're eating is whole, real food, and then, you know, if we can get organic, if we can get local, if we can get grass-fed and pastured, that's even better. But I wouldn't get too crazy about, you know, the macronutrient balance. I will tell people, though, if you have sugar handling problems, diabetes or insulin resistance, you owe it to yourself to try a full-blown ketogenic diet.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great place. Great place to start. They get, and because of the instant results. I mean, instant. In 3 days, they'll be blown away.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so we have lots of people that want to talk. Let's get to some phones. Let's go to Illinois. Joe, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
Good. What's on your mind this morning?
I called about a year ago, just about. That was the last time I called. just wanted to let you know how things are going. I started off about 3 years ago, somewhere around 400 pounds. That's just because that's as high as my scale went. And when I called you a year ago, I was down to 260, and I couldn't drop any further. I couldn't drop any further than that, no matter what I did. And I just wanted to let some people know that might be plateaued and stuck and not know what else to do. I was listening to another health podcast from that guy that had that. I hear the music. I'll wait.
Yeah, hold that thought. We're going to get to the break, and we're going to come back and hear the rest of the story. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, so a quick heads up, we're heading into the fourth segment. We do have some more questions, but we're going to come back into a second hour, and we can do destination health questions or general questions. And if you press 1 on your phone right now, you can probably get through. I have room for a second hour. So if I don't get enough questions, we may just skip it, and I'll go back to studying. So it's up to you. Here we go. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. Kim Cockerham is with me, and we were talking with Joe in Illinois. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, as I was saying, I was stuck between – I kept fluctuating for the longest time for just back between 260 and 265, and nothing I did seemed to work. And another podcast, that guy that coined the whole NSNG thing, you probably know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
But on one of his shows, he was talking about how there's some studies that were showing that even if you're not lactose intolerant, that some people – dairy will cause an autoimmune response, a very, very slight one, but it will cause inflammation in your tissue and keep you from losing any weight. So just on a whim, I decided, well, what the hell? I cut out all dairy, and then I started going back to losing about 3 to 4 pounds a week, and I'm down to about 220 now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow. Congratulations. That is awesome. You know, that brings up a point about another whole group of diets that seem really extreme, but I think for a lot of people can be a great way to get started. And they're referred to as elimination diets. The Whole 30 diet, the GAPS diet, there are several out there. And what they do is they eliminate all food groups that could potentially create either autoimmune responses, food allergy responses, food sensitivity responses. Because when we have those, like you just said, if we have an autoimmune response to dairy, it can screw up all kinds of functions in our body. And
yep.
So these elimination diets eliminate dairy and grains and eggs and nightshades. And you look at it and you think, oh, my God, what's left to eat? But there is still plenty left. And for most people, if you can do an elimination diet for 30 days, it is life-changing. And then you can ease back in and try certain things. Like once you've cleared all your symptoms, you could have eggs and just pay attention. How do I feel after that? Or you could try certain kinds of dairy. For example, I don't handle milk well at all. Raw milk is better, but if I drink that even regularly, I get some things that I'm not crazy about. But raw milk cheese doesn't bother me at all. And raw milk yogurt. So the fermentation process for raw milk, can make it, you know, easier for a lot of people. And some people shouldn't have dairy at all. This is where the bio-individuality comes from. This is where you've got to do what you did. You've got to try things and see how they work for you. The problem is our diet is such a mess. Our diet is such a mess that it's impossible to figure it out with all the variables. That's why these what look like extreme diets, these elimination diets, that's why they work so well, because they help us focus on what's really causing the problem.
I got one quick poll that say that it's too hard to find grass-fed beef when you're out on the road. If you ever go to Hardee's, they have a grass-fed burger that you can get wrapped in lettuce, no antibiotics, non-GMO, 100% grass-fed. Just don't get the condiments. Put your own on, and it's wonderful.
Excellent. Yeah, great idea. And, Kim, don't you see, I mean, I see it a lot. I know I'm paying attention and looking, but isn't it getting so much easier to eat some of the foods we've been talking about for about a year and a half now?
Yeah, it's actually really cool where you're starting to see even the fast food do like lettuce wrap stuff, and it's good to see. And that's that movement that starts, you know, if everybody just keeps, you know, spreading the word and asking for it at restaurants, and that it is going to change.
You know, I talked about this during the CMC at some point. I don't remember when. I was on stage so many hours this year, but I talked about one of the ways that when I do eat out, almost every restaurant you go into usually has a list of burgers, you know, and they'll have all their specialty burgers, and, you know, it might be mushroom and Swiss or guacamole and whatever it is, and they all sound good. And then they usually have a list of salads. And my favorite thing now, and you get looked at weird in the beginning, but when I go to a restaurant, I find the burger that sounds the best, and I find the salad that sounds the best, and I tell them, make that burger exactly the way you describe it here. Just don't put it on a bun. Put it on top of this salad. And it is absolutely amazing. I like it way better than a burger on a bun, and it gives you lots of different options when you go to restaurants to mix and match different burger combinations with different salads.
Yeah, and that's great. You know, we did that at CMC the last night, you know, and what I loved with our menu, Lisa worked so hard to have options for people, and it was really cool. I could eat better there, and it was prepared for me. You know, I didn't care there whether, you know, coarse grass or anything like that, but the last night we had, you know, concessions. So we got the burger without the bun and a big salad and did exactly what you said. And it's so cool if you just stop for a moment and think ahead of time, on what you're going to do instead of, you know, just diving right into what's there. I wanted to say real quick to Joe, too. I know he's listening. I just applaud him for, because you're going to on this journey. I mean, because our bodies change over time, life changes, stress, different like that. You're going to have speed bumps sometimes. But I love the way he stayed determined to still learn and find ways and try it and see how it worked and just keep going forward. Just, you know, don't give up. Just keep going forward.
Yeah. You know, so, absolutely. And what an amazing thing he's accomplished so far. I got a ton of feedback on that whole burger and salad thing already from people who have been doing it. They love it. And then another one that I think is a fairly easy way to really kick up the nutrition in the food we eat. It requires a little bit of work up front, but it's not a big deal. I have been making my own burger mix, and it's all grass-fed and pastured, but I use grass-fed ground beef, grass-fed beef liver, and pastured uncured bacon. And I do it in thirds. So what I really like, pound of each, and I end up with 3 pounds of the mix, and then I can just make it into patties and freeze it individually. But it's a third of each one of those things, grass-fed ground beef, grass-fed beef liver, and uncured pastured bacon, and I just throw it in the food processor. Mm-hmm. And I process it to like a burger mix. I like mine really coarse. And it really, for people who don't like liver, liver is probably beef liver, grass-fed beef liver, is probably one of the most potent superfoods on the planet. I mean, it provides so much nutrition. It's incredible, but most people don't like it. And this is a way that I've found that really kind of hides or even enhances the liver taste and texture. So you get some more fat from the bacon, you get all the nutrition from the liver, and the nutrition from the ground beef as well, but it makes excellent patties, and it's just got tons of flavor. So for people who don't really like liver, try that, because it's just an amazing way to get a lot of nutrition.
Well, I look forward to trying that next time we're out there, too.
There you go. All right, let's squeeze in. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, because people might be hearing you talk about that. I mean, and again, think about how to do on the road, but that's all where just a little preparation at home, you know, taking the time to, you know, first of all, purchase, you know, what you need to and make those patties, or even just regular grass-fed patties, or buy it at Walmart and, you know, but have that in your, you know, your repertoire of what you're going to take on the road, anything you can make ahead of time and take with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's, well, you know what? I think I'm going to hold off on this call. I'm kind of looking at the clock, and I don't want to have to rush it because we're coming up to the end of the show. So we'll kind of wrap this one up. Kim, why don't you go over the challenge again? Give people the text number, tell them what the challenge is all about, how to get involved.
Yeah, okay, thanks. And I encourage everybody to just jump on board with us and try this. So for 22 days, we're just asking you to focus on one or two things that you feel you need right now. Kevin, you share yours. Mine is simple. Mine's quality sleep. I'm trying to focus on sleep and being mindful. So it could be as simple as that. And text the phrase LT Health to 99,000, just like you did to sign up for the, you know, the text messages for the shows, but use LT Health to 99,000 or Canadian friends, 76,000.
Excellent. And then they'll get some text messages, and we'll encourage them along the way and point out resources for them. I know Lisa figured out how to put a document right into the text that went out. So that was awesome. So we'll be doing more of that. And just to give you a little tip, since sleep is what you're focusing on, you know, spending 20 to 60 minutes a day in good sunshine really helps your sleep.
Okay. I'm heading out.
There you go. All right. And speaking of heading out, we've got to head out because we are all out of time. So many questions, so little time, but we will do it again real soon. Thanks for joining us. Be safe, be profitable, be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, everybody, we're going to do another hour. So if you're just joining us, it looks like there may be some room for a couple more questions if you want to jump in. And they can be general questions or health questions in the next hour. Either one, press one on your phone, and we will get to you. Here we go.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business
and Beyond,
the show that puts the money where it belongs,
back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking, and today is a carryover from Destination Health. Our Destination Health Hour is becoming so popular, and there's so much to talk about and so many questions that it's kind of morphing into 2 hours. So joining me to help out with those questions, my Destination Health co-host, Kim Cockerham. Kim, welcome back.
Great. So glad to be here, Kevin.
Yeah, you know, this is obviously one of our more controversial topics, taking the health-related questions and doing shows about health. And you kind of were the prod to get me moving in this direction. And now that we have, I absolutely love it. There's so much to talk about. So many good things are happening. And between, you know, you and I and the topics we're trying to cover and all the questions, we just don't get to them all in an hour. So we're doing an extra hour this week.
That's great. I love it.
Yeah. So, you know, I'd love to get more airtime, something we're always working on. But we've always said that this show is about what the listeners want to talk about. So as long as there's this much demand, we'll continue to try to help as many people as possible. So I really don't have a whole lot prepared for this hour. Is there anything you want to start with, or should we just jump into questions?
You know what? Sorry, just really quick. I do, because it is
sure.
I know the flack you've taken for taking the health route, too. And one story stands out from the CMC where I had one of our gentlemen, and he was so fun, come up and share that he was one of the skeptics at first and almost stopped listening because of it. And he happened to be at a point where I think he was loading or something, and he was listening, and people were sharing. And that's why I encourage people to share and ask questions, because there's other people experiencing the same thing and need to hear it so they don't feel alone. And he said what we were talking about were things going on with him, like some psoriasis issues with his eyes even, and miserable for 4 years. And he started this. He cut out the sugars. He cut out the grains. And it cleared up and it healed him. And he, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it because I was almost in tears as he was sharing this there, because you could feel the emotion and what it did for his life, and it gave him back his life. And so we heard that multiple times at the CMC, and it just tells me we are on the right road. And if you're listening and maybe skeptical, I just encourage you to keep an open mind and share it. Usually people that are with us now, they're on this, you know, but share this with others and get this movement going, because it absolutely changes lives.
Yeah, and you know, you reminded me of during the week at the CMC, I was on stage a lot. It was a very busy week. It was for everybody. The whole staff was working constantly. And my longest day, I was on stage 9.5 hours. And the evening was the one session we dedicated to health. And I was concerned. It was a really long day. It was late in the week already. You could see people were starting to wear down a little bit. And yet, late at night, we had over 120 people come to that session. And they had great questions and great stories. And you did some surveys, and people have been giving their feedback, and they loved it. And we didn't even, I mean, it wasn't very planned. It wasn't, you know, really structured. We just got up and we talked about some things, and we had the panel, and we all shared and took questions. But I thought it was just a great session.
It really was. It really was. And it just makes you realize we're all in this together.
Absolutely. So speaking of together, let's bring some people in and see what kind of questions they've got. Let's go to Virginia to get started. Larry, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Kim and Kevin.
Hi there.
I've been, since March, my grandson's in a wrestler, and I was going to a lot of wrestling tournaments, and I was having a hard time getting mobile, moving around on the bleachers. I mean, I'm 62 years old, and I felt like I was walking like a 72-year-old up and down the bleachers. And my son noticed it, and he started me on this Thrive program. I don't know if either one of you have heard of that. It's a bunch of vitamins, natural vitamins, and so forth. And I've also been drinking.
I have not.
Okay. And I was also drinking the coffee with the coconut oil and the butter in the morning, and I liked that. But the one product with Thrive has a natural caffeine in it. And I guess to jump ahead just a little bit, the past few weeks I started getting very lightheaded, felt like you know, maybe I could maybe even pass out, or maybe I wasn't functioning properly. I've been trying to eat ketogenically as well, and just don't really know what might be causing that. My son suggested I eat after I do the shake, which I've been doing now, and cut out the caffeine because the shake has a natural caffeine in it, and he thought I was probably getting too much caffeine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I see in the notes that you mentioned that you're on statins.
Yes.
Okay, so a couple things come to mind, actually three that could be causing the lightheadedness. And you mentioned one, excessive caffeine could do this. So I wouldn't be a fiend, I would just watch the amount. You know, there's nothing wrong with a cup or two of Bulletproof coffee and a little bit of raw chocolate, which also has caffeine. All caffeine, by the way, is natural. Caffeine is a natural substance. So I wouldn't worry about eliminating caffeine, but I would certainly minimize it some. But I think the bigger issue on the lightheadedness is coming from a combination of the ketogenic diet and the statins. Statins are notorious for causing dizziness. So we know that's a complication of statins. Part of the reason it happens is because statins lower blood pressure. So does a ketogenic diet. And if you lower blood pressure enough, you're going to get lightheaded. So I think that's what's happening. What you might want to do is get yourself a blood pressure cuff, one of the portables, and just check your own blood pressure and see what's going on with that. The statins, I mean, the only way to eliminate the statins causing lightheadedness is to stop taking the statins. The ketogenic diet could be lowering the blood pressure even further. So, again, I want you to monitor the blood pressure. We may be facing one other thing here. Part of the damage we do on the standard American diet and a stressful lifestyle, which too many of us lead, is that we can damage the adrenal system. And that's another thing that happens. Your adrenals are designed to raise blood pressure quickly when you stand up. So if you've been sitting and you're relaxed and your blood pressure is low, that's okay. But if you stand up, that blood pressure needs to come up quickly in order to stop you from getting dizzy. And it's the adrenals that do that. And when your adrenals are stressed, they're not very good at it. In fact, one of the tests that we do as an NTP is we take your blood pressure sitting down and relaxed, and we have you stand up quickly, and we take it again within like 5 seconds of standing up, and we check the differential. And if it drops too much, if there's too much of a differential, that's a sign that you've got weak adrenals. So one of those things or a combination of all of them is what's causing this. So the way to address it would be decide, you know, do you really want to be on the statins? I have a couple good books for you to read if you're not sure about that one. The ketogenic diet I would keep doing, and I would probably address adrenals and monitor blood pressure.
Okay, I just had my annual physical, and I forgot to ask my doctor about the statins, getting off of them, and then I called him to see if that was okay, and he didn't want me to go off of them.
Of course not. I mean, I've said it before. Our whole medical system is set up to push drugs, and we shouldn't need them. We should not need drugs for the rest of our life, and statins have a horrible, horrible track record. They have lots of side effects and very few positive effects. In fact, there's lots of doctors that believe they're killing people with statins, that nobody should be on them. I would recommend two books. I would have you listen to Cholesterol Clarity by Jimmy Moore, which is a great book. A lot of doctors are part of that book. And then if you want to really understand what's going on with statins, I would listen or read a book called Lipitor, Thief of Memory, by Dr. Dwayne Gravely. You cannot argue with this guy's credentials. He is an amazing doctor, and he suffered this personally. So it's a great story. Stick around. We'll be right back with more stuff. I'm Kevin Rothberg. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health, sort of. We may get to some general questions as well. We'll see. Joining me is my co-host, Kim Cockerham. Kim, you know, one of the other things I want to just kind of throw out for that last caller is I looked at the Thrive program, and I think overall I'm going to look more into it. But the one thing I would be careful of is when you go to their website, it's a whole educational program. And sometimes what goes wrong with things like this is that we skip the education part because it's too difficult and we just want to take the supplements. And I would be very, very careful about overloading with a bunch of vitamins and supplements. I think if they're being used in a very targeted, specific way, for example, the adrenals. If we test adrenals, which we can do pretty easily, and the adrenals are weak or fatigued, there are very targeted supplements we can use to strengthen the adrenals. But once the adrenals are strong again, we should be able to stop the supplementation. You know, we want to get as much of our nutrition from whole food as possible. So I'm a little leery of these programs that push a lot of supplementation. I've even, you know, criticize some NTPs for pushing too much supplementation. So, and an overload of supplements could be exacerbating that lightheadedness, dizziness problem.
Yeah, and I would love to ask Larry, because I think, you know, he mentioned a couple of things that kind of just jumped out at me. One of them is a supplement that would have caffeine in it. I don't understand what kind of supplement should have a caffeine in it.
Good point.
And then I believe he mentioned shakes too. And I'm always leery of the protein shake bit where just look at the ingredients. You'll kind of get an idea and feeling. I mean, it's great to do anything to start down the healthy road and it might, you know, get some habits in place. But to try to eventually get off any protein shakes and get that real food in you, those are just the two things that kind of spoke to me. But oh my God, a supplement that has caffeine kind of just makes me a little nervous.
You know what? I'm glad you caught that because I didn't. And that's a really good point. The only reason I can see that there might be some caffeine in supplementation, two products that kind of come to mind: raw chocolate, which I promote pretty heavily, you know, is a really good superfood. It has some caffeine, not a tremendous amount. So that might be one reason if you had a supplement that had some raw chocolate in it. Or green tea. Green tea's got a lot of good benefits and polyphenols and all kinds of things. So sometimes you might see a green tea supplement. But here's the thing for me. Why supplement with those things?
Mm-hmm.
They're so easy to just eat the whole real food. You know, if I put raw chocolate in my, you know, bulletproof coffee every day. I make my own chocolate bars from raw chocolate. If you want the benefits of green tea, just drink green tea.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hope Larry will come back and give us an update, see how he's doing.
Yeah, so good points there. Let's go to Montana. James, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Kim. Kim, I've been running for about 15 months, and I'm fastly approaching 300 total miles. So that's I'm coming along in my therapy, my runs.
That is awesome.
Excellent.
Don't you love tracking
that?
That is just a fun
thing
to track, too. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah, but Kevin, what I wanted to talk to you about was a blood draw I did back in on May 11th. And I want to go over the numbers. Now, these numbers, granted, I'm on no medications in these numbers. I did a 10-hour fast, and I had been awake for about 2 hours. So,
okay.
So, if you want to go to those numbers? Okay. Blood pressure, 142 over 89. HDL, 58. Triglycerides, 45. LDL, 148. Glucose, which would be sugar, I guess, is 92.
Wow. Those are, I was trying to calculate some things in my head pretty quick, but those are good numbers. You had a really good HDL to triglyceride ratio. I was just doing it in my head.
Yeah, I was looking at that too. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and trying to do it in my head, I'm not sure if I got it backwards. Are you just over one or under one on your ratio?
I have HDL at 58 and triglycerides at 45.
45. Slightly over one, which is an awesome. Anything under 3 is healthy. 5 is where we start to worry. 1, anywhere between 1 and 2, is about as good as I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My doctor, of course, this is at a veterans hospital. And of course, you know, I have those type of doctors. He's freaking out about the my cholesterol level, which is that the total number is 219, and of course the LDL is 148. And he wanted to prescribe a statin to me, and I just told him, "You can prescribe it. I am not going to take it." And he said, "Well, I take one myself." And I says, "Well, as a medical professional, maybe you shouldn't put your health at risk like that." You know, so he didn't like that answer.
Yeah.
That blood pressure, would you consider that high? Now, granted, that is not a medicated blood pressure, and I do have a medication for it, but I haven't been taking it for weeks before that.
I don't consider it high. And here's why. Here is where the drug companies have been very, very successful at manipulating our entire system. So, you know, if we know the 120 over 80 is ideal, we get that.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly don't want to be much lower. Low blood pressure can actually cause just as many problems. So this isn't one of those things where the lower we get, the better. We want to stay in that optimal range, which we've decided is about 120 over 80. What they did, though, was when they started realizing that blood pressure was a problem, and it is. High blood pressure is clearly a problem. They were looking at people who were in the really high range, like, you know, maybe 180 over, you know, 100 or crazy high numbers. And they were saying, look, this kills people. And if we put them on this medication, then they won't die. But then what the drug companies do, and they're so good at, is they'll say, look, if we saved all these people up here from having a heart attack by medicating them, what about the people down here? Well, there's no evidence that says when you're at 140 over 90 that you're going to die from it. It may not be optimal, but is it worth all the side effects of the drugs to fix something that probably isn't a problem? So what I would say is where you're at is not bad. I would not take a drug to fix this, but I would work on some natural remedies. And, you know, things
avocado and salt. I've been doing avocado and salt.
Yeah.
I've been doing that.
Well, and here's the thing about salt. It's not salt that either causes high blood pressure or fixes it. It is a balance of minerals. So it's primarily the balance of sodium and potassium. So it's not that we get too much salt in our diet, potassium. So, Kim, you showed me a product that I absolutely love, and maybe you'll know the name of it because I use it every day, but I don't know the name of it. It's the liquid, like electrolytes.
Yeah, yeah. I have Lyte Balance, L-Y-T-E Balance, and I love it.
So what I do with that is I switched to unsalted butter in my Bulletproof coffee, and I put a capful of that Lyte Balance in every cup because it gives you the perfect balance of the three electrolytes that we need to keep in balance, which is sodium, potassium, and magnesium. And that
what
can
is it called
lower
again?
Blood pressure. Lyte Balance, L-Y-T-E.
Lyte?
Yep.
Lyte Balance. And it's a drink of some sort?
It's a liquid. I wouldn't drink it straight because it's pretty salty, but you can put a capful or two in water. I like putting it in my Bulletproof coffee because that it's something I do every morning, so I know I won't miss it. I've put it in food, sauces,
and soups.
Is
that supposed to help with the blood pressure? Because I always had a problem with my blood pressure. It's always, it can easily go up to 180. If I don't work on it, my blood pressure can go to 180 very quickly.
It's not sold as a blood pressure, remedy. It's sold as a way to keep your electrolytes and your minerals in balance. And that is the real problem with high blood pressure is we get out of balance. So, this will help. The other thing I also add to my Bulletproof coffee, cinnamon. Cinnamon is great for blood pressure regulation. So I would start looking at some natural foods and things like meditation and stress reduction and those kind of things. Because your number right now is not bad, and it should be fairly easy to drop 10% off that number. Stick around. We'll be right back with more stuff. Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. My co-host is Kim Cockerham. Kim, last call brought up a couple of thoughts. One, one of the sections I'm struggling with right now for my finals is mineral balance. It's more complicated than I thought it was going to be, so I'm really working hard on that. But one of the things that I guess I didn't realize, we've talked about bone broth and why bone broths are so healthy. And a lot of it is because of the collagen and the gelatin and some of those other things we get from the bones. But one of the things we get a lot of from bones are minerals. All the minerals in our body are stored in our bones. 99% of the calcium in your body is stored in bones. And it's the same with animals. So if we get healthy grass-fed animals and we make a bone broth out of the bones, we get not only a virtually a perfect balance of minerals, but we get them in a form that our body absorbs really easily. You can supplement with all kinds of minerals and get nothing out of it because your body just can't absorb them properly, and it's really hard to know what you can absorb and what you don't absorb without doing mineral testing. But bone broths are known to be a really good balance of minerals in a form that our body absorbs easily.
When you're done with your test, I'd love to hear some more about that too, like how what are some signs if you're mineral deficient and so forth. That would be a great.
The interesting thing, I love the way we test for, you can do a blood test for mineral deficiency, and if you want really hard numbers, I would recommend that. But one of the ways we test quickly on an NTP, it's a taste test. And we did this with zinc, and you can do it with lots of minerals. And it's interesting if you take what they call aqueous zinc, which is zinc diluted in water, and you taste it. You put it in your mouth and swish it around. If your body is deficient in zinc, it tastes like water. I mean, you don't notice any taste whatsoever. And it's your body's way of saying, hey, I need some of that stuff. But if you are not deficient, if you have plenty of that mineral, it will have a really strong minerally taste. It's very unpleasant. And part of the reason for that is minerals are one of those things that you definitely don't want to overdo. You know, there are some vitamins, you could overdo them, you know, 10 times more than what you should take, and it won't matter because your body just eliminates any excess anyway. Minerals are not like that. Your body will store minerals, so you don't want too much, and you don't want too little. And it's amazing that our body has its own way of regulating this by making foods or liquids high in those minerals either taste good or bad depending on what we need. So it's just one more way. Our body is just so amazing.
It is. And you know what? That's right with that light balance, with those electrolytes. You know, they make – and I think that's the first time I was up against that with a product that I thought was so awesome that they, you know, then follow up with a letter, make sure that, you know, you're using it the right way. And it's that taste test. You put one capful in water, you taste it. You put another capful in water, you taste it. And whichever one, depending on sweetness or saltiness or not tasting anything – it was telling you what your body needs. And I thought that was so cool.
And when I did it, it was so cool because I put one capful in and I noticed a slightly salty taste. And this was just in pure water. A little bit of salty taste, but it was not unpleasant at all. I put in two capfuls. I couldn't have choked that stuff down if I wanted to. It became very unpleasant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's our body has its own natural way of trying to help us regulate our minerals. The problem for most people, they're not getting minerals through their diet. A lot of our minerals should come from plant sources. The problem is the way we farm now, we don't use natural fertilizers anymore. We use artificial fertilizers that make plants grow and look really pretty and good, but they're missing the minerals because it was never in the soil to begin with. Mm-hmm. And if we eat conventionally raised animals, if they've been fed grains that don't have those minerals, then the animal doesn't have it either. So getting our minerals really means going back to much better sources of food, organically raised using real minerals in the soil, not just hydrogen and potassium and whatever else. There's three things they use to grow plants that look great but don't have a whole lot of nutrition. And again, if the animals are being raised on grass that's properly managed and the whole small farm idea, then we'll get all the minerals we need. The other great place to get minerals, and a lot of people just don't eat enough of it, is seafood. They're loaded with minerals.
That's great. Again, stuff to learn and try. Yeah, love it.
Yeah, sardines and oysters better be on the menu.
Oh, I still have to do sardines. And I did try oysters. I did try those barbecued oysters out there at CMC. And so,
that's right.
Who knew?
That's right. Let's get to some more questions. Let's go to Minnesota. Gary, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin and Kim. My question is about psoriasis. I have a roommate that just went from just a couple spots on her body to about 85% of her body covered in psoriasis. Ooh. Is psoriasis reversible, or is it just manageable or permanent?
Completely reversible. Psoriasis is an autoimmune disease. And autoimmune disease is on the rise. It is exploding in this country in many, many different forms. And I would highly encourage her because that's an extreme case. she would be the first thing I would do with her is I would put her on one of the elimination diets. And I know they're going to seem extreme in the beginning, but it will fix this quickly. Her body right now, her immune system is being overwhelmed by something. And she probably has leaky gut. Leaky gut allows all the stuff that is not supposed to be in your bloodstream, it allows it in. Because all of the toxins and bacteria and foreign proteins and antibodies that are in our gut that our body is supposed to eliminate, when we have leaky gut, it allows it to get through the gut lining and enter our bloodstream. And then we get crazy autoimmune responses. And then there's just this cascade of stuff that I could spend the next hour explaining. But her body is just being overwhelmed with toxins in her food and things that she shouldn't be eating. And the immune system is so overwhelmed and so ramped up, that's what causes any type of autoimmune disease. So if she does an elimination diet, that's going to get rid of a lot of these toxins and proteins. It could be, I'm almost positive it's going to be grains. That those just aren't good for anybody.
Yeah,
go ahead.
She tried to do. I tried to get her to go on the ketogenic diet, which I can't get her to do it 100%. And then she said it got worse on her. Well, she won't eliminate her. You know, she likes her vodka every once in a while, and she likes her Jägermeister sip on it once in a while. I said you have to eliminate all of that in order to do this. And so, but she just went into emergency this morning. She just went into emergency this morning.
Yeah, so here's the thing. She doesn't necessarily have to do ketogenic. Ketogenic on its own is somewhat of an elimination diet because you almost can't eat processed food trying to stay ketogenic.
Yep.
But I would have her focus more on something like the GAPS protocol, G-A-P-S, or a Whole30 diet. In some ways, it doesn't seem as extreme as ketogenic because it's not necessarily a high-fat diet. It's just a really strict whole food diet that eliminates all the things that we know can affect people this way. So for some people, eggs will have this reaction. For other people, they could eat a dozen eggs a day. It doesn't hurt anything. There's a whole group of vegetables called nightshades. Peppers, tomatoes, eggplant. Some people can eat bushelfuls and not have a problem. Other people, nightshades are a problem. Nuts can be a problem. Dairy is a big problem for a lot of people. Wheat, obviously, and gluten is the worst offender. The idea behind this, it eliminates all of that stuff. And you do it for about 30 days or so. She doesn't have to feel like she's going to have to do this the rest of her life. But I guarantee you, if she does an elimination diet for 30 days, her psoriasis will go away. And then she could add things back in and see what may have been causing it in the first place. But it could just be an overload. That's usually what it is for most people. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. I can't believe it. We're already down to the final segment. Kim Cockerham's here with me. Kim, you know, earlier I was talking about bone broth and on the GAPS protocol, which is a gut healing protocol. But here's the interesting thing. GAP stands for gut and psychology, which, isn't that
That's
interesting?
Cool.
So on one diet, we're addressing our gut, but it's also been used very successfully for people with all kinds of psychological issues, anxiety, depression, ADD, ADHD, all kinds of things, because when we heal our gut, our brain works better, which is just an amazing thing. But one of the foods that is big in a GAPS protocol are bone broths, because they're loaded with stuff that heals the gut. So, you know, even if you're not going to go full-blown into an elimination diet, which for somebody like this, psoriasis is bad enough, they're going to the emergency room, I would just go all the way and do a really strict elimination diet. But for anybody, bone broth is just an amazing food. And it's you know, it sounds complicated to make. It's really simple. My favorite way of doing it now is just in a crock pot, a slow cooker. And when I order grass-fed beef, I just always order some marrow bones. And they're all grass-fed and healthy. And I just put the marrow bones in the crock pot, fill it with water, and throw in whatever vegetable scraps I've got around. You know, old celery, stalks, carrots, onions, mushrooms, greens. I just throw it all in there. And then you put in a little bit of acid. And I like using raw apple cider vinegar. Just, I don't measure anything. I throw in a couple splashes of it. And the acid helps pull the minerals out of the bone. But in bone broth, there are some nutrients that are very, very gut healing. L-glutamine, glutathione. I take a supplement with those. But I've been trying to drink like a pint of bone broth every day.
And that was one of the things that I haven't backed up to make, just because I wasn't sure where to get the bones. We had on our Run Tampa group, there's people starting to do more of this. And they said Whole Foods, you could stop there sometimes and ask them for some good grass-fed bones. I didn't realize you could order them like you just did.
Yeah. In fact, my favorite place for bones is Crowd Cow. And the reason I like Crowd Cow is it's a flat rate for shipping, and you don't have to have a minimum order. Like some of the places I order, I have to buy at least 10 pounds of meat, and I don't always want to order that much. On Crowd Cow, I can just go in and order the bones if I want. But normally what I'll do with Crowd Cow, like I went in and ordered, I just wanted to stock up. I ordered all the stuff, like I said, nobody else eats, the tongue, the kidneys, the liver, the heart, and I got the bones. And, you know, one pot of crock pot, depending on the size of your crock pot, might fill up 7 or 8 quart jars or pint jars with broth. And it doesn't even have to be a really big batch. And I just put them in mason jars and throw them in the freezer. And then, you know, take one or two out at a time and leave them in the refrigerator. And then when they thaw, that's the one I drink that day.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah, very, very, very good for gut healing. Good for your skin and your joints and your hair, too. All the collagen and gelatin. And let's go to Ohio. Herschel, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Kim.
Hi, Herschel.
Hey there.
Well, I just thought I would give you somewhat of an update, and then I'll tell you what my mindset is for the challenge.
All right.
For the update, as you know, I've been through sensitivity testing and all kinds of things with the NTP. Last year at CMC time, I was 256. It's been a hard year of trying to figure this out, but thank God and you too that you found NTP and told us about it, because I never heard of it. It has helped. It is working. I got on the scale this morning, 237. And that's within about 2.5 months of paying attention to what I'm sensitive to when it comes to food.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
You've worked hard.
Excellent.
So it is working, and if anybody doubts the NTP program, just give it a shot. It'll cost you a couple of bucks, but it's worth it.
Well, I'm glad you called and shared that, because, you know, we have lots of success stories on the ketogenic diet, people losing lots of weight, but there are some people who don't. And we know that if you don't, there's some other reason. And I can promise you that the medical community is never going to find it. But the NTP, and you've been through this, The NTP keeps searching for the root cause, not just trying to cover up certain symptoms. So, and that's what you've been able to experience. They keep digging for that root cause and found out that you had some food sensitivities, kind of like the caller earlier, or it might have been the last show, where he lost a lot of weight and then plateaued and went through the same kind of process and figured out that it was a food sensitivity that was blocking his progress.
And that is what happened to me. I was 306 at my biggest. I got into the middle 250s, stayed there for well over a year. Nothing was working, constant pain, and it ended up being the gallbladder, supplementation for the gallbladder, and then finding out that soy and other things like that is a problem for me, and my God, is soy in everything. But
yes,
through all this, now the weight loss has started again. I'm feeling
excellent.
Way better, no pain, and it's because of the sensitivities in the NTP. And oddly, I am really not eating any different than when I plateaued, except staying away from the stuff that was on the sensitivity list from my blood test. That's really all I'm doing.
Awesome.
And now it's working. So, but
what a great
to tell
story.
You about the challenge idea that I have for me. Just quite frankly, just take my life back. I have had a son for many years, obviously. He's almost 22. I have tried everything you can think of and I can think of to get him on the right track. And quite frankly, he was, for all intents and purposes, almost killing me. My nerves were totally shot. We were on vacation the last week. And on my security cam, I caught him and one of his buddies sitting on the back porch smoking a doobie. And I said, that's it. I'm done. And I told him, get his crap and get out of my house. You know, well, I'll have sleep in my car. Well, that's on you. You know, I'm
right.
not going to have that in my house. I am taking my life back. And if I make people mad doing it, so be it. They're not friends anyway.
I agree, and I support what you're doing, and it's, you know, it's interesting. I go through phases of different kinds of books that I read, and I was a little burnout on business books right now. I was a little burnout on health books because of all the studying I've been doing, but I still love to read, sometimes just to relax, and still to learn. And I've been on a kick for about a month now. Not exaggerating, I think I've read 35 books written by former addicts, people who have been addicted to all kinds of things, alcohol, different drugs, painkillers, heroin, meth, coke, gambling, sex, you name it. And I'm just fascinated by some of these stories of people who have been through this and what it does to their life. And obviously, if they're writing a book, they made it out the other side. So all of these stories have, you know, somewhat of a happy ending, but it is amazing. I mean, I'm in one right now. I just started, and it's about a Harvard-trained doctor who lost everything to addiction. And doctors face this a lot because they have access to a lot of drugs. You learn from these, though, that they really have to be put on their own. Anything you do that enables them to continue doing whatever they're addicted to just prolongs the agony.
Right, right. And I grew up with drunks, literally, mom, grandma, grandpa, all of them. They were all drunks. I've seen it for years. I have no tolerance, no patience for it, and I know I'm probably making people mad on the road right now. But if you live it long enough, you get to where you just don't have tolerance for it. And I just decided I'm done. And I threw my stepson out of the house. He was doing the same thing. We got rid of him. Now my blood son is gone. And if that is what it takes, that's what it takes. If I have to move 1,000 miles, I'll do it because my life is mine. I'll be 50 years old this summer, and I'm sick and tired of living and to take care of people that won't help themselves. And I'm just not doing it anymore. I'm done with it. So that's mine.
Well, you know, there's two points, and you don't need to feel selfish about that. One, you have to do this for your own life, and that some people may think that's selfish, but it's not. And two, if anything is going to help him, it's going to be this kind of stuff that doesn't enable him to keep doing what he's doing. The harder you make it for him to do those things, the more likely he will be to change. He may never change, but you got to do something. So I know that's a really, really tough one, but it's a great way to look at this. Kim, any final words?
Yeah, I just want to offer support to Herschel, too. I know all he's been through and just working to get himself together, and he seems like a stronger person internally through all of this. So we're here for you, Herschel.
Absolutely. You know, that's the whole gut and psychology thing. People find that when they're eating the right foods and their gut gets healthy, they get a little mentally stronger, too. Wish I had more time, but we've got to go. Be safe, be profitable, be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. All right, everybody, thanks. We didn't get to all the questions, but we will come back and do it again next week. I have got to go study. Kim, thanks for everything. Anything else you want to throw into the people still on the line?
No, just thanks for everybody being here. Good luck to you studying. Go join the challenge, you guys. See you next week.
Fantastic. All right. Thanks, everybody.